Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Pod save the king!
Hello and welcome to an episode on the road of Pod Save the King. I am your host for today, Russell Myers, and I'm joined by my liege and mirror photographer extraordinaire, Ian Vogler. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how are you? It's been a long day, hasn't it?
It has been a long day. It's been a long couple of days. It feels like we've been here for a long time, but we arrived on Monday evening into Nairobi. We are actually in Mombasa at the moment. And we are pretty much sweltering. It has just had a huge thunderstorm. It's a very, very different climate here on the coast of East Africa. Very different to the city, the hustle and the bustle, the hecticness of Nairobi. And fortunately, I've been a couple of times before, but not for many years. And it's always great to come back, not only to this part of the world, but certainly to Nairobi, because it is a real, I suppose, it's sort of the bastion of democracy here in Africa. And certainly the cultural and historical ties, both with Britain and the rest of the world, it's there to be seen. And it's sort of a really good opportunity for Britain and indeed the King and Queen to come here for their first tour of the Commonwealth. And I suppose when you look at the reasons, and there have been a lot of people saying to me, why on earth are you going to Kenya? Why the King and Queen going to Kenya? Surely they would have gone to one of the 14 British realms. Many of them are Commonwealth countries as well, for their first big tour. Of course, you and I have been to France and Germany on state visits this year, which went fantastically well. That was our last meeting when we were in France. And now we find ourselves in Kenya. And I suppose those sort of ties, those historical ties, have been both great and not so great. And certainly that was an element of what King Charles was speaking about during his major speech at the state banquet. And it was on Tuesday evening. That was the first official day of the tour. It was a four-day tour, state visit. They've rolled out the red carpet. And I think pretty much, you know, before we come on to sort of the nuts and bolts of his speech, which was pretty punchy, I think they've had a really warm reception here in Kenya.
It's been very warm. We met that chap today, didn't we, from the Kenyan Broadcasting Company.
Yeah.
And we were talking to him because the average age of people, certainly in Nairobi, is about 19, isn't it? It's very, very young.
Yeah, it's really young.
And they really appreciate and seem to understand a lot of the work that the King's been doing, certainly through the Prince's Trust over the years. And it's interesting to hear that from him, how the younger side of the population really appreciate the money. You could say, okay, they've come to Kenya, it's independent, it's a little bit softer, perhaps, than some of the other Commonwealth countries that may have a desire to completely sever ties. So perhaps this is a softer option, but the welcome's been warm, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, you're looking at, the reasoning to come here, and I think it's a friendly nation. We're not necessarily that Caribbean wasn't friendly. I think we had an incredible warm welcome. And again, I'm going to be labelled to say, why are you mentioning the Caribbean tour again? You know, Russell Myers raking over old coals once more. But I think that is quite a good example of the world we are in today. And certainly when William and Kate went there, I don't feel they fully grasped the nature of what the royal family's position is across the world. And of course, as I come back to it, been welcomed with open arms, very warm reception from these individual nations. However, the issue of not only independence for some of those Caribbean countries, of course, we talk about some of the history, which we'll get into in a minute, but Kenya had independence in 1963, so they had decades on their own, but still maintain a lot of cultural, historical trade ties with the United Kingdom. However, in the Caribbean, there's talk of reparations, there's talk of independence, and it's, you know, there's a bit of fire in the belly, I suppose, from those Caribbean nations. And it's not necessarily that here, but it's more of a backward-looking aspect of this tour. And to bring you to that big speech, and I think that this is going to be a vein running through King Charles's reign. And it's not something that he doesn't expect. It's very, very much on the agenda. certainly when I've spoken to people at the palace, they say to me, you know, the king is very, very well read. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And he wants to try and right the wrongs of the past. And specifically in Kenya, you had the Mau Mau uprising in the 1950s. And that spanned 8 years, resulted in thousands of deaths, the worst of British colonialism, without a shadow of a doubt. And the king was expressing his, and I'm quoting from him, his greatest sorrow and deepest regrets. And what happened? I mean, the official figures stand about 11,000. The British tried to sort of quash this uprising, this revolt amongst the local people of, you know, what Kenyans consider, say, to be the utmost freedom fighters. The figures are way surpassing those 11,000, depending on who you talk to. But not only with that, you have a kind of a need for acknowledgement. And I think in certain quarters, there's been a request, probably more than a request, a need for an apology from not only the British government, who have paid £20 million to descendants of those the people who took part in the uprising, but also an apology from the British royal family. And we know that Charles has spoken about this in Africa, in the Caribbean, talking about the abhorrent slave trade that the British royal family had a hand in. So, you know, these are undeniable truths that he can't get away from. And I don't think he wants to get away from it, because when you look at how he is tackling this, it is pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's lived through these things, hasn't he? Owing to his age, he's lived through these things. He would have known about these things back at the time as a young man. And, you know, let's look at it. We're in Black History Month. The modern king has come to Africa with a black foreign secretary. So, you know, he's the modern king and he's tackling these things head on. I mean, I think for him to stand up there and say sorry, I just don't think it would probably ever happen.
No, it probably opens itself up to, you know, calls for reparations. I mean, he is here, him and the Queen are here on the behest of the British government. And the reason why the British government have chosen Kenya specifically is because of those trade ties. I don't remember the exact figures, but there are millions and millions of pounds in trade done between the two countries, which has existed for years, and in a post-Brexit world is what we obviously need more of. But I'm just going to read you some of Charles's speech, because I thought it was really interesting about how far he went. And then we'll come on to what the President, Ruto, said, because, again, his speech was pretty punchy. But the King said, "It is the intimacy of our shared history that has brought our people together. However, we must also acknowledge the most painful times of our long and complex relationship. The wrongs of the past are a cause of the greatest sorrow and deepest regret. There were abhorrent and unjustifiable acts of violence committed against Kenyans as they waged, as you said at the United Nations, a painful struggle for independence and sovereignty. And for that, there can be no excuse." And then you look to President Ruto's speech, where he talks about the monstrous aspects. And again, really strong emotive language. And fair play to him. I mean, he had a platform with the king in his backyard, and why on earth would he not take that opportunity? But I think that, you know, it's a balancing act for Charles and Camilla. I mean, Camilla is a supporting act, but then you've also got William and Kate as well. And wherever they go into these regions, be it Africa or the Caribbean, there are going to be calls for these types of reparations or these apologies. I don't think we're going to get the apology from them because of those aspects from the British government. However, it's definitely going to be a vein running through these tours forevermore.
Yeah, because when the king comes on these tours, he is here at the behest of the foreign. So he is here, can we put, kind of like a puppet spokesman for the government, but he wants to say his own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he can't possibly say things he might want to say because it may upset the government, and it measured but heartfelt.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone leaving that room thought they'd been, let's say, fobbed off, did they?
Actually, no. Again,
because he's lived through it, hasn't he?
Yes, he's lived through it. I mean, talking about the uprising starting in 1952, the year his mother came to the throne, and that was very, very prevalent because, again, why are we in Kenya? The historical ties is the late queen found out that she was going to become the mother when she was in Kenya. Charles referencing his speech again about his son and heir, Prince William, proposed to his daughter-in-law, Princess of Wales, in Kenya in 2010. So all of these historical and family ties are running through it. I think sometimes these tours are a little bit paint by numbers.
Not necessarily these speeches, but definitely when you're going to have Charles and Camilla, you're going to have climate change, you're going to have environmentalism, animal welfare, and we've had that in spades over the last couple of days. Certainly today, first of all, food tree plantings, obviously.
Well, yeah.
We haven't seen you shake the tree.
I did touch the tree at the UN place, but I don't think he said
for anybody
didn't
think
say
that we've lost our minds, or indeed the king has. This is a thing. Regular listeners of podcasts will absolutely know what we're talking about. When Charles plants one of the millions of trees that he has planted, when on these sites of engagement, he grabs the leaf of the tree or a stalk and says, "Good luck, tree." And I love that about him. And it's sort of, again, this continuity to running around wherever he goes throughout the country, and indeed around
the cleanest spade in the world.
Yes, it was the cleanest spade. Certainly, and
it
was very shiny, unless they polished it up.
You know, you make the good point. Kenya is a country where the queen went, our late queen, went up the tree to the treehouse as a princess, came down as a queen.
And he mentioned this in his
speech. And the king has come here as a new king and probably left as a pretty old statesman.
I think so. And again, talking about his legacy, I mean, the man is 74, he'll be 75 in a few days. What is his legacy going to look at? I bring you back to the conversations I've had with the palace about his absolutely acutely aware of what he wants his legacy to be. And that is trying to right the wrongs. We can't rewrite history, but we can try and rewrite the wrongs and try and have a new relationship with our partners, friends and partners moving forward. That sounds a bit political speak, but I think that is exactly what the aim of the game is here, to come and be welcomed and to leave as friends and partners and trying to have a bit more of a relationship further down the road. But when you look at, God, we pack a lot in on these trips. I don't think anyone could be sympathetic of us. We are sitting in a very, very nice hotel on the beach. We've just got to Mombasa, but they are relentless, punishing days.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's only because we have to get to the jobs about 3 hours before the royals, because we have to go do security.
Should we start a crowdfunder for us to have a private jet?
No, we're with the king.
Oh no, we can't do that.
And when we took the RAF Voyager here from Bryce Lawton, it was run on 40% sustainable fuel. We actually need Chris Shipp of ITV here, because he's a shout out to Shippy, because he is an aficionado of sustainable fuel, and I'm sure he would talk.
He tells you what nuts and bolts are in the wheel.
He loves it. But indeed, so back to the tour. I mean, we've had sort of two days in Nairobi, 2 days it's going to be in Mombasa. We're around the coast. Of course, we're going to be talking to a lot of locals about sustainability, the environment. Climate change is really affecting. I mean, talk about climate change. We walked in, well, it was bright sunshine earlier. Then we walked in, it was hugely humid, and we just come in from the thunderstorm. And that is certainly going to affect this country and indeed the region for many, many decades to come. What's been your favourite part of it so far?
Well, I think state banquet, as they arrived, there were some traditional dancers, and that was really exciting because it just added atmosphere. But today, I wrote a caption on my picture today, basically, Queen Camilla feeds a baby elephant. It's not too often that you get to see that. You were right there, weren't you? Basically a charitable organisation that look after orphan elephants. And they're basically, feeding time comes, and these keepers have these huge milk.
About the size of me and you.
These
bottles, and they've got like baby elephants.
Several pints. And the elephant doesn't mess about, does it? It runs up, gets its teeth on the bottle, and it goes for it. And the queen saw that being done by the keepers, and then she had a go. Quite a small elephant.
You talk about the aspects of Camilla's work, and I play with her as a bit of a support act. I don't think that's being cruel. It's definitely she is here to support her role as king and support her husband, but to do her job as a representative of the British government also. For king and country, as they say. And I think that aspect of her work, what I found interesting today was they split for a lot of the job. You know, I was at a street kitchen with Charles when he was talking to a lot of local businesses that have been helped by the British Council. He was giving us, a spicy paratha?
He went a bit Michael Caine, because he said to me, he got these spicy parathas from these people that run a food truck. And he basically said, a bit like it'll blow the bloody doors off. He basically said, I think he told Arthur, blow your bloody head off. That was a terrible mind. That was my terrible expression.
It was very funny. And he's got a bit of personality, the old king.
Yeah.
And he is very, very good at making people feel at ease. And that is definitely wherever we do engagements, and it happened a lot today. I think people feel, oh gosh, the King of England coming in to see us, and he makes people feel at ease, and they both do, and they both are very, very good at being well-read. Many people will have seen the video that the royal family Instagram and social media pages put up as we were flying into Nairobi, of the King and Queen reading their booklets, doing their homework, and I suppose that is very, very important, not only to... you know, make sure you do your job, I suppose, but also make sure you make people feel at ease, because that is then going to be successful pictures, successful copy. Everybody's happy with the involvement. People are going to speak about this. It's interesting enough, I went for dinner with one of my friends who lives here. Shout out to Stevie. But he's lived here for about 10 years. I was asking him, are people interested in this? He said it's different. A lot of the older generation... your age, basically, and have really got excited about it and thought that it's interesting because the Queen visited many times, and Charles has as well, but this is his first time as King. And what does that mean for our relationship with Britain? There's a lot of expats living here. Young people, not very interested. And that tells you an awful lot. You talk about the age range of the makeup of this country, and I think it is 50% of people in Kenya are under the age of 35, and that is huge. You know, very, very big technological advances made in Kenya. A lot of the young people are using that as a springboard to better their jobs, better their livelihoods, better their families' future prospects as well. And you can see it happening before your eyes. But I'm going to tell you my favourite story.
Let's go on then.
So, at the war graves, they went to, obviously, wreath laying. Charles and Camilla had visited the Tomb of the Unknown Warrior during the week, but we had also Charles placing a medal on the chest of a brave war veteran, a Kenyan war veteran who served in the British Army in World War II, also serves in Palestine and the Far East, Corporal Samuel Nithge Mubara. And he, unbelievably, is 117 years old. At least that's what his birth certificate, or lack of birth certificate, said, some of his personal documents. That would, astonishingly, make him the oldest living person in the world. And now, I want some of what he's drinking, because he certainly looked remarkably well for 117. But his credentials in terms of being a corporal in the army are without question. And speaking to his daughter, Ida, today, she was explaining the reason that the king was there to meet him and several other veterans today was because when the Mau Mau uprising happened, the quest for independence was really burgeoning. I suppose they were part of the British Army and they had medals that they discarded or lost. They didn't necessarily throw them away, it was explained, but they discarded them. Certainly, I think reading between the lines, that they were fearful for their safety, for their family's safety, and if they were caught, not only of serving the British occupiers, as some people put it to me today, that they certainly were fearful of reprisals for the Mau Mau, having served in the armed forces. And that happened to many African veterans, and they just got rid of their medals. So it was Samuel's family who actually contacted, they knew that this visit was happening, and they contacted the king, the palace, and they said, you know, it would be great if he could be re-awarded these medals. And it was a really touching moment, I thought, today, where the king and the queen were introduced to Samuel, and they were absolutely in awe of him. And Charles said, you're amazing. You have set us a great example. You must have been living on wild locusts and honey. Because he looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, what it takes to get to 100.
Well, I think that's a secret. So we better go get another
locust
shop.
Locusts and honey.
But he also said, you know, but he was bending down and he was sort of showing him the medals. And he said, I really am so pleased, if I may say so, to give you these after all these years. I hope they're all there. When he's counting them, he said, you are amazing. And he said, you just great age running the family. And I don't think up to 117, but certainly Corporal Mubara was a worthy recipient of those medals. And interestingly, military has been a real issue of this tour, I think. Sometimes we see it, we saw it a little bit in France when the French are putting on the pomp and ceremony. But here, because we've had so many British forces serve here, for good or bad throughout the years, it's definitely something to be celebrated and to be recognised as well. Not only elephant sanctuaries, coming back to the animals, which was, you know, great pictures, but donkey sanctuary, yeah, as well. And we had Camilla, was she feeding some donkeys? I've seen the pictures, but Camilla's a great professional in these senses. She knew they're going to be really great pictures. She was getting involved. She's obviously hugely into animal welfare. And I think that when you're looking at, you know, maybe it's been a bit unfair, paint by numbers, it's something that they have interest in and they can talk with assurance and confidence with. And it's something that, is perfectly fitting of these types of engagements. And again, so where are we tomorrow? We're gonna do another drop in tomorrow. This is on Wednesday night. We're gonna publish a podcast on Thursday for all our listeners, and then we are going to be on a very nice beach tomorrow. Not just me and you, which we are in kind of a honeymooners hotel. I mean, I do think of you very highly, but it would be nice to be with
So what you're saying is it's the King's birthday soon, isn't it?
Mm.
So we better have a think about it between now and tomorrow. What are we going to get? You say locusts and honey.
Locusts and honey. Well, I'll get the honey. Chosen the bandeira.
No problem at all. I'll find a trump for those.
But we're going to also go to the naval base. We're going to go to
the Algo for naval base.
That's going to be really interesting because, again, British military training up Kenyan soldiers and Navy personnel here is really, really still really important.
Yeah.
And because of the interest in the region bordering Somalia and whatnot, you have that is going to continue. Let's hope that relationship forevermore, because there are certain issues that people can, or our armed forces can certainly jointly.
Big shout out to our military friends that have helped us get here tonight. They've been looking after us throughout the visit, helping us with transport, and they, let's just say, they managed to get us through a lot of queues at an airport tonight.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for them,
we wouldn't have made our
flight. I don't know where we'd be.
No. We'd probably be still on the Alps.
Captain Jamie and the rest of the guys.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Big shout out.
So, I mean, thank you for tuning in. Well, you're still going to be listening, hopefully, because we're going to give you the second part tomorrow.
Locusts and honey tomorrow.
And in the space-time continuum, as Ag Ripper says, we'll see you then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello and welcome back to another day in Kenya. We are on day 3 of the Royal Tour. I am here with Ian Voger, me Russell Myers, back. It's pretty warm, Ian. I mean, he's been sucking the life out of me today. I don't know how you coped. You were at the naval base and we were split up for most of the day, unfortunately. You were at the naval base. I was at the beach cleaned. Not a lot of cleaning going on for the King, unfortunately, because he was... which is what I think is the issue with these jobs sometimes. Think that sometimes it could get a bit safe, and whereas it could be really fun and vibrant, and I have to lean on colleagues like yourself to make the pictures really sing, so we've got some great content delivered to our readers. When the King left this beach clean, he was talking to young Kenyan scouts and girl guides, and they have a project, environmental project, that they wanted him to learn all about. And he, when he left, they were all getting involved in laughing and joking and dancing, and it was real atmosphere. And unfortunately, that didn't really push through. from the engagement, which was a bit sad, I thought, because I think the king is a good sport, and you know, he just doesn't want to turn up for a photo call and talk about where things are hush boys. I think he even kind of wants to get involved sometimes. And it was a very worthy event, don't get me wrong. It was talking all about the issues being affected, of course, of the coastal environment on the Yali Beach in Mombasa. And talking about to young people, I suppose, because young people are our future. Who said that? The children of the future?
Oh, we can't hear that.
Winnie Houston.
That's sold.
But he was Winnie Houston. Yeah. It's a good song. Who sang it? Anyway, we digress, because after speaking to the Scouts and Girl Guys, talking about Tide Turners, which is a global youth movement, it's not just in Kenya, it's all around, all throughout the UN, now practicing across the world, and talking about reusing plastics, how can we make our environments a better and safer place for all. And these young people were really, really, really impressive. And when I was speaking to them after it, they were, well, one of the girls said she loved King Charles. She actually said that to him. She said, I love war. And I said, why just tell him you love him? And he said, well, I just think he's that a sort of a poster boy for environmentalism. So he's getting a bit of street cred down with the kids here in Kenya.
Wasn't talking about you.
He definitely wasn't.
No.
I was very hot and bothered by this point. But you went to the naval base.
I had to get a boat to go to the naval base. So you've got some British Marines training some Kenyans, and they did an exercise where they basically came up the beach on ribs, and the exercise basically where they would take the beach, and there were smoke grenades and
very dramatic.
And blank rounds and all sorts of stuff going on. Yeah, it was very dramatic, actually. The British Marines have trained these guys for a number of weeks. It's very realistic, actually. Funny moment after, so the King and the Queen were invited to meet the families of these guys, and the king went from the left and the queen went from the right, and they just basically walked into each other, and the queen took a car crash.
And she said that. Yeah. Again, they like having a bit of fun, and I think sometimes when they can let their hair down, they are very, very good, I think we said yesterday, putting people at ease. And,
yeah.
You know, Charles, when he was on the beach, well, played to him. He was dressed in his full suit. Suit and tie.
Yeah, the suit that I was dressed down.
I didn't have a tie on. I mean, I was pretty side down, but it was,
well, I didn't have it
sweltering.
And the Queen was brilliant there, because she had to sit and watch us. And she knew we were trying to get pictures, and she whipped her sunnies off so we could see. But yeah, it was fun. And then a big shout out to the Kenyan security guard. He thinks he's going to play rugby one day, I think, because not only do we have to try and get the pictures, we have to try and not get rugby tackled by overzealous security guys who were sort of screaming and shouting. And
you were with a lot of people with big assault rifles, and even though they're the
playground. Yeah. There's lots of people with guns there. But this guy thought it was his job to, basically rugby tackle us out of the way. So that was quite good.
Well, wrapping up, I mean, just the day, there was another visit to a coral reef, very, very much about environmentalism today. That has been a vein after the really sort of serious, heavy political, historical aspects of the speech covered yesterday. Very much in tune with the youth, as we said, a huge young population here in Kenya, and a sort of bastion for Africa and the rest of the world, I suppose. Tomorrow we have got a bit more historical stuff. You know, there'll be interfaith meetings. There'll be going to a mosque. There's a place for Fort Jesus. We won't spoil the surprise, because it's going to be a nice surprise going with the King and Queen at the end of the tour. So, in summary, is it a success?
I think successful. More formal than perhaps we would have liked for the picture side of it, but successful, formal, well received.
Yeah, well received.
And a lot, you know, with the king, long days, you know.
Yeah,
they are. Pack it in, do lots of visits.
They have a punishing schedule. And I mean, it will be success on the British government. I mean, James Cleverly, Forest Secretary, was here this week, and very much in tune with the government aspect of it, speaking about righting wrongs, which we've covered. I think they will deem it a success because Charles has been well received. There wasn't any protests that we've seen in the past. There wasn't any sort of a negative atmosphere. Charles's speeches were bang on. And I think that, you know, 2024 is going to be a big year. We're expecting to go to Canada. We're expecting to go to Australia, two of the big big realms. And I imagine there'll be, you know, a few more trips in the mix as well.
Chogham thrown in.
Chogham as well, because Chogham is a big deal next year. Commonwealth has a government meeting. COP28 was announced that the King is going to go because he was effectively stopped by Liz Truss. Do you remember Liz Truss?
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember Liz Truss?
Later in the letters.
Yeah, she didn't last too long, our former Prime Minister. A matter of hours. If we're being kind. But it looks like Charles has got his groove back because, again, very much embedded with youth culture, what is going to be happening in terms of kids making a difference, environmentalism, and that is going to be following here. He's going to be there for a couple of days in Dubai this year. We were in Dubai. We went to Twinillion, didn't we?
That weird
the expo
thing of those weird robot things.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. It was like a Star Wars movie, wasn't it?
Stalls, their exhibitions, absolutely huge.
Yeah.
You might be able to hear the rain outside. It's just absolutely skimping down the outside. Yeah. So listen, I think we give him a solid score. I mean, it's a solid sort of 8 out of 10. It's a little bit paint by numbers, but there is some meat and prostate devour within the tour. So we are off tomorrow. We're going back home. We are not going to Singapore because this is a podcast. May like to know that I have just had a baby. So not me personally, my wife.
Shout out to the lovely Katie.
Yes, we've had a little boy, and very very excited to get home and see my family. Until next time, I suppose, because you and I have had a good tour here, and we've enjoyed it. We've been really enjoying the Kenyan hospitality. It's been fantastic to be there. And we'll catch you next week.
Pod Save the King!